Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. We're going to continue for most of this episode with a little more in-depth breakdown of draft prospects who might be there for the Pistons at number 12. We're going to start with Donovan Mitchell, a guard from Louisville. For a while, it seemed like Mitchell would go a little lower in the first round, but plausibly in that range where the Pistons were at 12. He went to the combine and really impressed everybody. Now he's really become the trendy pick for the Pistons in a lot of mock drafts, a lot of projections, going at 12. He's a guard, and the Pistons, yeah, they could use another guard. Reggie Jackson is probably still going to be the starter at point guard. KCP probably coming back, whether it's through a matched offer sheet or signing outright in restricted free agency. Off the bench, Ish Smith is solid but not capable of handling every matchup. That's why he's probably best suited as a backup in the NBA. Other than that, I mean, Reggie Bullock's going to be a free agent. Stanley Johnson's better at forward. Michael Binaje is not ready yet. Darren Hilliard is up and down. The Pistons don't really have enough reliable guards, and they might like to move on from Reggie Jackson at some point. So it makes sense that they could look at a guard like Mitchell. The question is, what type of guard is Mitchell? Is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? I have some questions there. I don't know exactly how high I am on him compared to others. It's always tough to read what others think of him. But I guess at this point, I'm a little lower on him than most. He's a 6'3" guard, but with just a ridiculous wingspan, measured at 6'10" at the combine. So that gives people some confidence he can play shooting guard, but his height would suggest point guard. His skill set, there's some people who think he could become a point guard, that he has that playmaking ability. I didn't see it at Louisville. Doesn't mean he doesn't have it, but I sort of think, given what Louisville needed, if he could have done that, if he could have been more of a point guard, they would have asked him to do that. But they didn't. Maybe it's just what they wanted, maybe for whatever reason. The comparison that could be very nice for him is Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon, who's in the running for the Rookie of the Year with the Bucks. I thought Brogdon was a 3-and-D type of player coming out of Virginia, just really a defensive guy who would hopefully, if all went well in the NBA, make open three-pointers, but wasn't going to handle the ball or do much of that. And he turned into the Bucks' point guard. Now, they also have Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Pistons don't have another playmaker like that outside of Reggie Jackson, who is the point guard also. But the Pistons don't have a playmaker like that 2 through 5. So it's a little different of a thing. But Brogdon was way better of a playmaker in the NBA than I ever expected him to be based on what he showed at Virginia. There are some people that think Donovan Mitchell could make a similar jump. So I'm open to that. I just didn't really see it at Louisville. And, you know, I don't have the access to these private workouts that teams do, but that is something I'd want to test him in, because at 6'3", even with a 6'10" wingspan, there's going to be some questions about having him at shooting guard. Where he projects to translate a lot better is defensively, because he's just an excellent athlete. Obviously that length goes a long way, but he's quick. He had a 40-inch vertical at the combine. You know, he can get up. He's going to challenge shots. He's going to be in guys' faces. I think he's going to be excellent guarding point guards. With that length, I mean, you knew he was long, but when you get a 6'10" wingspan, a 6'3" body, like, it's to the point I wouldn't really be concerned about him defending shooting guards or small forwards. So I think he'll be a versatile 1 through 3 defender. I just don't know where you put him on offense. And it's hard to get past that. I've covered what I think of him as a playmaker, but as a scorer, Louisville asked him to create a lot for himself And he took that burden. He just didn't do all that well to it. He wasn't very efficient. And so the question is, was that Louisville scheme? Were they asking the wrong things of him, asking too much of him? Or is this just how he is, what his shot selection is like? I'm a firm believer that there's a skill in getting good shots, and he didn't get many good shots at Louisville. Again, that could be the offense. That might not be something that sticks with him. Maybe the Pistons, maybe Stan Van Gundy help him get good shots, but maybe he's just somebody who doesn't know how to get good shots, who doesn't do the thing to get things necessary to get good shots, and is too often just forcing bad ones, because that's what he did a lot at Louisville. So that's a tough question to get past. What his road might be is being a point guard defensively and a shooting guard offensively, which is sort of what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope does. The difference between KCP and Mitchell potentially is that I know KCP can guard opposing shooting guards. I don't know exactly where Mitchell is with that, but maybe you just have him, Mitchell, behind KCP, and he can swap the defensive roles with Reggie Jackson, something the Pistons often do with KCP and Reggie Jackson. So you can hide Reggie Jackson on the lesser offensive player if that player is a shooting guard, and it often is. It's really become a point guard dominant league, but I just don't know about Mitchell's ability to guard shooting guards. I do feel a little more comfortable with him at shooting guard offensively, but his clearest path to becoming a really good, impactful NBA player is if he can run the point. If his distributing skills are secretly good enough or can develop to be good enough. And I just have some doubt there. He's in that long class of players who the Pistons might have to draft at 12, but I wouldn't feel all that comfortable drafting at 12. It's not really a risk I'd be excited about. Okay, let's move on to Terrence Ferguson. Ferguson is an American from Texas, but he played in Australia last year. Didn't go the college route, kind of did the Brandon Jennings thing, went and played overseas. He's 6'7", also a nice wingspan, 6'9", basically, and also good athleticism, 38 vertical at the combine. So a lot of physical tools, a lot of things to like there. He's also known for having a very good shot. However, in Australia, he shot just 31% on three-pointers, not the most encouraging thing. For somebody who's supposed to be, so his reputation is he's a shooter. You really thought that would be higher. On the bright side, he carved out a real solid role with his Australian team. Now, he's playing against older players, professionals. Oftentimes, when young players go to teams like that, they get glued to the bench. Those teams are interested in winning, not so much player development. They don't really trust young players, especially somebody who's adjusting to a new culture. And I understand Australia is not the same as going to other places. They still speak English there. It's a little more similar, a little more familiar in some ways. But it's still a major adjustment for somebody so young to go over there and deal with all of that. Ferguson did that. He earned the trust of his coach. He carved out a real solid regular role, plenty of playing time. So that's encouraging. Like, I think he could be a pretty good defender, maybe a 3-and-D type, but I wish I were more certain about his shot. Although if I were, maybe he wouldn't be there for the Pistons at 12. He's young. Like I said, this would have been his freshman year of college. He's just 19. So there's time for him to develop some nice tools there. A good starting point for anybody in the NBA, shooting and athleticism. Ferguson has the athleticism. He's displayed that. He also has a reputation for shooting. I'd want to test that more. I'd like to get more info about that if I were a team. That's what I'd be looking at most in workouts. But he does have this reputation for shooting well. His stroke appears to be pretty good. We're dealing with small samples over the course of one Australian season. So I still have some hope for him. Again, he fits in this mold like Mitchell for the Pistons. We're sure they could use another guard, but he's also a guard where I wouldn't be tremendously excited if he's the best player available at 12. But for either one of them, I do think it's possible they could be the best player available at 12. Okay, one last piece of news to get to today. The Pistons radio broadcast will be back on 97.1. They were on 105.1. 105.1 went away from sports coverage, became an old-school hip-hop station, but still had the Pistons right. So it was kind of an awkward fit last year. I don't really care too much what radio station the Pistons are on. Mark Champion will be back. Rick Mahorn will be back. Like, that's what's important to me. Those guys are excellent. Mark Champion just has such a classic voice. Rick Mahorn does a nice job in a challenging job of providing insight during a radio broadcast. Those guys are real pros, and so I'm happy they'll be back. Whatever station it takes to listen to them, you know, when you're somewhere where you want to listen to a game rather than watch it for whatever reason, that's fine. You know, it doesn't matter what station. I do like this move, though, because 105.1 has really become my favorite music station in the Detroit area. And sometimes when I want to listen to music, it's a little annoying that Pistons pregame and postgame is on when I don't have the choice. I can't listen to 105.1's music or the Pistons pregame or postgame. Like, I just don't have the option. Now I'll have the option, because I wouldn't be listening to 97.1 in those times. Like, if I want sports coverage at that time, I probably want Pistons pregame or postgame. And I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably in a similar boat. If I want music, 105.1's my top choice. So I'm happy to see this split. Maybe some of you are too. But as long as Mark Champion and Rick Mahorn are back, that's the important thing. We'll be back tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.